There is something about the sight of a starry night sky that evokes us to awe. Our ancestors lived close to the world of nature, and they had a deep appreciation of the night sky with its beautiful Milky Way galaxy. And I think we have really moved away from that because we don't see the wonder of the stars now. But they saw pictures in the stars. They named them the hunter, the water carrier, the bear, and so on. They noticed how, over time, the night sky slowly changes. For them, the stars were so familiar that they used them as a compass to guide travel. And I wonder, did they ever suspect that beyond the vast expanse of the Milky Way that they knew so well, that there were other countless galaxies that they couldn't see, but they are waiting to be explored? Space exploration has given us a sense of the immensity of the universe. Beyond the Milky Way with its millions of stars are numberless star-studded galaxies still waiting to reveal their wonder. We know that the universe is still expanding. Meanwhile, we sit on this tiny Goldilocks planet that orbits the sun and rotates on its axis, and we're not even aware that we are moving. Science, of course, shows us the wonder of creation at a micro level. We know that the soil is filled with insects, bacteria, and microbes. Nature programs that are so wonderfully done on TV show us their diversity of trees, shrubs, plants, and grasses. And every new discovery makes us aware of the wonder of our planet. One of my favorite things about it is that they have discovered that trees communicate with one another. I mean, how amazing is that? Not very long ago, if someone said the trees were communicating with one another, we would have said they were gaga, but now we know that they do. And the more we discover about the wonderful world, the more wondrous it is. This diversity is found in the world of birds, animals, and insects, and it extends to human beings. No two individuals are exactly alike. Every person born is unique. Different skin tones, hair types and colors, different eye color, different height, different weight, different shapes. And even in the case of identical twins, there are differences. Every fingerprint is different. The iris of our eyes are different. We all have different DNA, unique to us. 7 billion-ish of some of us, and no two alike. And yet, some people would reduce this diversity into two groups, male and female, heterosexual. Not only is each one of us unique, but we're here alive now in the moment, and we were born for a purpose. We're not here to time away our life. In his book, Anamkara, John O'Donohue speaks wonderfully about the uniqueness and purpose of humans. He said, "To be born is to be chosen. No one is here by accident. Each of us was sent for a special destiny. The selectivity of birth indicates a sheltering providence which dreamed you, created you, and is there to care for you. If someone else could fulfill your destiny, then they would be in your place and you would not be here." It's important to remember, if someone else could fulfill your destiny, they would be there here instead of you. We are wonderfully made, each of us unique and wonderful. We're also terribly complicated. human beings are. We think that we're smarter than we are. We say we love this wonderful diversity in creation, yet we destroy it to replace it with bland monotony. We never replace it with more diversity. No, let's go for bland monotony. And we do this, I think, from hubris, ignorance, and often just plain greed. We know the tropical forests are the lungs of the world, and yet we're cutting them down. We destroy countless life forms and diversity and replace them with a single tree, the ubiquitous palm oil tree. Row and row and row of one type of tree. Closer to home, this pattern is repeated in our farming practices. Flower meadows that nourish pollinators have been replaced by a single form of grass. There are 12,000 different grasses in the world. We just have the one, thank you very much. This destruction of diversity causes endless damage. It increases the need for artificial fertilizer. It deprives the animals that graze on them of the natural herbs that promote their health. And so we're off to the vet for the antibiotics, which go into the water courses, and then we drink the water. Monoculture is bad news for the pollinators that are the generators of life. In the absence of a variety of food sources, insects and bees are weakened. They succumb to diseases. That's one of the reasons they're discovering that bee populations are falling. They're just anemic, they're run down, and every illness can wipe them out. Just as we would be if we sort of said, carrots are wonderful foods, but we'll only eat carrots. We'd all be sick as well. Well, so are the insects. Diversity is not only beautiful, it is essential to our well-being. Then what of diversity in the human family? What of those lovely sentiments of John O'Donohue? Each one of us has something here to do that can be done by no one else. Sometimes I think that we welcome diversity in theory, but when it comes to practice, we fall short. And sometimes that is just the unknown. We're comfortable in a rut. We need to get out of our rut to look around, see the world as it is, and accept differences. How we treat and perceive people differently was really brought home in the past 2 weeks. A ship full of immigrants, about 750 of them, was lost in the Mediterranean. A rescue ship went close by, and it was obvious that the ship was in danger. And at best, they ignored the danger those people were in, and they drowned. There was about 100 and something survivors. That was repeated in the Mediterranean last Friday, not to the same extent, but there were 70 odd people lost there. On Sunday last, the marine rescue resources of Canada, America, and France went to the rescue of 5 individuals. And while our hearts went out to the thought of 5 humans caught in a tube underneath all that water, there is a great discrepancy in how we responded to those different tragedies. Possibly to assuage public conscience, 5 individuals appeared in a Greek court. Maybe those 5 individuals will be sentenced to a jail term. But the fallout from the Titanic deaths will be that we're going to have better laws to protect people like those five individuals who lost their lives. And we have to admit that the truth, that we think of people differently, people who are other than us. We treat them as they are less worthy of our concern. In a diverse world, we need to stop fearing differences. Religious teaching has played into how we mistreat those who fall outside the rigid lines drawn in ancient times by people who were limited by their knowledge. And this is perpetuated by organizations that should be led by the teachings of Jesus, who told us to love one another. The interesting thing for me is that we never go back to the science of 2,000 years ago, because we know it has been replaced by new knowledge. And yet religion goes back to when people didn't know any differently. June is a celebration of pride. As we do not control our hair color, our gender identity, it's not a choice we make. Being heterosexual is not a reward for being good and virtuous. Anyone who happens to be heterosexual wasn't particularly good or well-behaved or kind or anything else. It was an accident. And when science establishes new truths, we shouldn't insist on going back to the past, what we know to be incorrect. In our country, ordinary people have led the change to better acceptance of our LGBT brothers and sisters. And they have led the change because they have a father, a mother, a child, a brother or sister, a cousin, an aunt or uncle who happens to be different sexual orientation than them. And they know they are lovely people, exactly like everyone else. And I suppose maybe we take hope from the fact that in time, churches will change their teaching. And I was thinking perhaps our LGBT brothers and sisters can take heart from the fact that for the first 1900 years of the Christian church, women bore the brunt of misguided teachings about human nature. And that has changed now. I was just thinking it must be really difficult to be a gay woman, gay and a woman, if you want to be a Christian or a Catholic particularly. I said that the Christian church in its first 19 years of its history was very anti-women. Tertullian of Carthage is known as the father of Latin Christianity. And Tertullian lived from 150 to about 220. He was a man of some wisdom. It is said that we can attribute the expression out of the frying pan into the fire to him. He also wrote really well about freedom. He said, you cannot parcel out freedom in pieces because freedom is all or it is nothing. So this was a man of wisdom. But even this wise man had his blind spot. In the year 200, he wrote about women. He said to them, you are the devil's gateway. You are the first deserter of the divine law. You persuaded Adam, who the devil was not valiant enough to attack. You so easily destroyed man, the image of God. And note that the image of God wasn't human, it was man. Forward to the 20th century. In 1903, Pope Pius X confirmed the prohibition of women singing in the church. And that prohibition wasn't lifted until 1955, folks. So change takes time, but the momentum is with change. We also need to be aware that, like Tertullian, we'll all have our blind spots. We all have our prejudices. There's a well-known story that goes as follows. There's a group of people attending a business conference, and they're chatting over refreshments. The door opens and a voice shouts in, "Disaster, we've been found out, quick, make a run for it." The hall is instantly emptied. It is true that most people think in some way we are not good enough, not worthy, lacking in something. But when we do that, we do ourselves and our Creator an injustice. We demean the work of the power that created us. Let's go back to that psalm I read at the beginning. "For you created my being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully, wonderfully made." Remember that we are here to let our light shine, not to dazzle other people or put them in the shade, but in thanksgiving for our creation, for the gift of life. We are meant to live well, to live mightily, and live bowing to the mystery of life. Amen.